It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to a brand new week on Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's so good to be coming to you today, sharing the gospel of God's grace. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 31, I love the book of Jeremiah, verse 31 says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." What an amazing passage of Scripture. The Jews were under the Torah, under the law, under the old covenant, where they had to be perfect in order to receive eternal life and receive heaven. How perfect did they have to be? Jesus put it this way. He said, "Be ye perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty hard. It didn't leave any room for error. If you broke but one law, you were guilty of breaking the entire law, the entire covenant. Now, what is a covenant? We don't normally use that word in our everyday language, but a covenant is different than a contract. You see, a contract is based on distrust. It spells out all the options and all the things that happen if you obey it or you break it. But a covenant, like God speaks through Jeremiah describing, is based on trust. God said, "I'm going to make a new covenant with you and the house of Israel, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people." Now, there were three terms of this new covenant. He said, first of all, "I'm going to put my law in your minds, and I'm going to write it on their hearts." See, the Jews were used to obeying a piece of paper. They were used to obeying the commandments that God had given to Moses and all the laws found in the Torah. But now God's saying, "You're going to live out of your heart in this new covenant. I'm going to put my law in your minds. I'm going to write it on your hearts. It'll be on your conscience." And the second part of the covenant, "I will be their God and they will be my people." See, this new covenant, it was more like a relationship. It was family. "I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people." And the third thing he said is, he said, "No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me." See, I love that. God's saying, "You're going to know me as your God, as your heavenly Father." And that's all made possible because of the last part that he put in this new covenant. He said, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." See, friend, we are allowed today to have a relationship with God. Why? Because through what Jesus did on the cross, God chose to forgive our sins and cast it as far as the east is from the west. If I can understand these four terms of this covenant, especially the fourth about his forgiveness, then I have complete spiritual, mental, and emotional, and physical health. See, friend, this is the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to bridge the gap between mankind and cover their sins. The world is crying out in one language today, and so many times the church is answering in another. The language of the gospel, it's a language of God's unconditional love. Not that he says sin is okay. Not that he says we live any way we want to live. Certainly not. Because God is holy, and he wants us to be holy. But friend, God is desperately wanting his church today to reach out to this world and show them God's unconditional love. Now, Jeremiah, he was a covenant attorney. He was sent by God to close out the old covenant and prepare them for the new covenant that was going to come through the cross of Jesus Christ. He's called the weeping prophet because he announces the death of that dream that God and man would be married to each other, and through the old covenant that God gave to Abraham, they would be forever linked. But he says, you've committed such unfaithfulness that that relationship is broken beyond repair, and God basically wrote Israel a bill of divorce. But the days are coming, he said. There's going to be a new covenant. Not just new, but brand new in kind. Not like the last in a series, but something totally new and individual. When you ask people what sin is, it's interesting because most of them will say sin is something you do. But friend, sin is really a dark condition that we are born with. It's missing the mark of God's perfection, the mark that he demands. That's really what sin is. In the Greek word, it's harmatia, which was a sporting term that a line judge would call out if you shot an arrow towards the target, and if it went anything less than hitting the bullseye, it was called harmatia, he would call out, which is the word sin. You missed the mark. See, today, it's so hard sometimes to get people to come to Christ because they don't realize that they missed the mark. The hardest part of getting someone saved is first getting them lost. In order to really understand this, we have to go back to the beginning, all the way to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they were in paradise that God had made for them to be in, and mankind has only one responsibility to his Creator. He just has to obey his Creator and fellowship with him. Who's the Creator? That's God. And the Bible tells us God is love. So really, what you're obeying is you're obeying love. Man was created to respond to that incredible love that God showed to mankind. You don't have to do anything to make him loved. He just has to be and exist. It's so hard for us to understand unconditional love sometimes because the love that we know is basically love that responds to something we do or something someone else does. But God says, no, love that I have is just because I created you and I love you with an unconditional love. Now, if you remember, God gave mankind one job that he had to do besides take care of the garden. He said, I want you to subdue the earth. You have to go out of the garden and subdue the earth. Satan came with another idea, just a sentence or two. He said, you can be independent. You can eat of that tree that God said don't eat of it. And when Adam did that, there was a death that took place spiritually. Adam died because he disobeyed God. Adam sinned, and therefore he missed the mark. In the book of Judges, there were some left-handed men from the tribe of Benjamin that were excellent with a slingshot. This is what it said in Judges 20, verse 16. It said, among all these soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. Each of them could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. You see that word in the Hebrew, miss? It was the word chatah. And it's the root word for harmatia. And the word here means to miss, to miss the target, to fall short. You see, in this life, apart from Christ, we all miss the target. We fall short of perfection and doing what God really wants us to do. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, then he had a new problem. He felt guilt, and he took a fig leaf and began to cover himself. He felt shame over who he is, this sinful nature, because he still believes the lie that Satan told him that he would be like God. In seeking to be like God, he actually became less than he was, less than the man who was created in the image of God, because sin messed with his mind. Remember, Satan told him, if you eat of this, God knows you'll be like him. And in Genesis, the third chapter, God comes down that next morning to walk with Adam. Adam has this awesome shame and guilt that he has because of his sin. And he's hiding from God. And he says in verse 10, he answered God. He said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Verse 11, and he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." See, the word naked here does not just simply imply that Adam and Eve didn't have clothes, because he didn't have clothes before. But I believe when he said, "I was naked and afraid," I believe that nakedness he was talking about was that shame and that guilt that was all over him. And so what happens? Genesis 3 verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." See, they were being creators now. Like God made the heavens and the earth, they took fig leaves and made coverings. See, the fig tree is the only one that bears fruit first and then grows leaves to cover the fruit from the burning sun. Adam grew the fruit of rebellion, and now he covers it with a fig leaf. See, this is sin, friend, going for a target that isn't even there and missing the target by believing the lie of the devil. If I try hard enough, if I really work at it, I can be like God. See, that began the human race. You ever wonder why they call it a race? Because it's a frantic effort to be as God. God is saying to them, stop chasing a target that isn't there. Stop running after something elusive. Trying to be God is never going to happen. So God killed an animal, the first living creature to ever die. And God kills an animal and sheds blood because of the sin of Adam and Eve. That animal had done nothing wrong, but it's going to feel the pain that you brought upon it, Adam. And it's going to know death because of the sin that you committed. And then God skinned the animal, and they were clothed with the bloody fur of the animal who bore this judgment. See, friend, God keeps loving us and loving us. He acts out what will happen some 4,000 years later when his only son will go to the cross and he will shed his innocent blood to cover my sin and your sin. God loved Adam and Eve back into fellowship. See, friend, in this life, we deal with that sin problem. When we fail and miss the mark that God set for our lives, we feel this horrible guilt, and the only remedy is the shedding of blood. What Jesus Christ did on the cross atoned for and paid for every sin you'll ever commit. Remember, God said in Jeremiah, "I'm going to remember your sins no more." Why? Because of that love that God showed through his only son, God's going to pay and atone for our sins. All we have to do is believe in him and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You see, God took the initiative. He sent his son. Jesus went to the cross and he died, destroying the works of the enemy, and he paid for your sins, friend. What's the biggest obstacle between God and man? Most people would say sin. I say that's not true. The biggest obstacle between God and man is Jesus Christ. You can't go around him. You can't go under him. You can't go any other way. You have to come through him and receive him because he is the one who paid for our sins. Now, remember in Jeremiah today, those four things that God said about this new covenant. Number one, he said, "I'm going to put my law in your minds and I'm going to write it on your hearts." Then he said, "I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people." And then he said, "They will all know me." Neighbor, you know today that God wants to know you personally. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't just want you to be a religious person. He wants to know you. And then he said this, "I'm going to forgive your wickedness and remember your sins no more." Call out to him today. Just say, "God, I believe Jesus is Lord, and I receive him as my Savior. Walk in grace. He loves you."
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes his mercies new every morning.